Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in the 14th chapter, and we're going to begin our reading with verse 19. And I want to remind you where we are before we just jump right in with our reading. We've been talking about the protocol for how a person who had leprosy, and the priest has now pronounced him clean, what's the protocol for that cleansing? And we have been reading about the lambs that were to be brought. Remember, one was to be waved, one was a sin offering or trespass offering, the other was the burnt offering. There was an offering of fine flour, and there was also an offering of oil. And remember, some of that blood was put on the ear, on the thumb, on the toe, and the same thing with the oil. And now where we are is we're reading about what happens with a person who's been pronounced clean if, right at the end of that, if they don't have enough money. Remember, they could have brought two turtle doves or two pigeons as opposed to the lambs. And so and we're going to read that too. Let's start with verse 19.
Actually, if you think about this, this is pointing to God's provision for salvation, for deliverance, mm-hmm. for whatever here. It's showing you that regardless of what your financial status is, that salvation is available for everyone, and that God has made provision, okay? And here again, all this is pointing to what Jesus would do in fulfilling the law. And so you have to keep these things in mind. And we talked about superficial versus something that goes deep, mm-hmm. and hidden. And some things are just on the surface, that's not affected the heart. But then there's some things that are so deep in the heart that it's affecting the surface.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to glean out of this. Some people do what they do out of an innocence. It's not that they have a vicious heart, malicious heart, or anything like that. It's not that they're trying to violate God. They just haven't been properly taught. But then there's other people who actually have a wicked heart. And because of that wicked heart, it manifests in the flesh, but it's something more than a superficial thing. The thing goes deep, and the things that go deep are dealt with differently than the things superficial. Okay?
That's good. Thank you. All right, verse 19 of chapter 14, Leviticus. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean.
Note the person couldn't do it for himself.
Yeah.
No more than we can save ourselves. Some people think they can, but they're deceived, okay? And so God's appointed one is the one who makes the atonement. We know that Jesus is the appointed one by God, who not only has atoned, but has redeemed mankind.
Good.
And it's interesting to me also that he specifies, as you see this often, he'll specify this offering is on the brass altar. That keep it distinct from the golden altar where only incense could be offered on that. So when he refers to the brass altar, it's not the one inside the tent, it's the one outside the tent in the courtyard. Okay?
Verse 21, and if he is poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil. and 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering.
You know, to me, I get this message out of this. There are some things that God does, that God has done through Jesus for us, but then there's something we must do. Even though the person is healed, in this case of leprosy, there's still something that person has to do. There's a protocol that has to be followed. Salvation has been provided for all humanity, but all humanity is not saved because there is a proper protocol that has to be followed. There's something you have to do. We have to accept Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, as our Savior. And if we do not believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, even though the redemption has been provided, it's of no benefit to us because we don't receive it. We don't respond. We don't do our part. We don't follow God's protocol. And that's mandatory.
That's good. Yeah, I've been thinking about this in light of my own journey with the Lord. And I can imagine myself, I told y'all I try to imagine things when I'm reading the Word. I can imagine myself as a leprous person. If we equate leprosy with sin, and you remember how we drew that analogy the last time we were together. I would have been one of those people that would have had to shout, unclean, unclean. But after Jesus has cleansed me with his blood that purifies, the water, his word that cleanses, and I know that the Lord has set me apart, that anointed, I have been anointed. And you too. But I think about how I'm clean. And I thank the Lord for Jesus' redemptive work, this the cleansing, that all that he went through to make me clean. You know, you think about the rich, whether you could bring the lambs or whether you had to have the turtle doves. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is you had to be clean. We all have to be clean.
It's not the animal per se that's doing it. I think that's the message that's being conveyed. You know, you could bring this animal if you had the financial ability to do that. You could bring this animal. But if you couldn't, then you could bring the turtle doves or whatever. It's not the animal per se that's doing it. It's God's divine protocol
right,
being followed. And so in reality, you're being cleansed by faith.
That's right.
Think about
faith,
it.
Yes.
You're doing what you're doing by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when we look at the law, we don't think of faith being equated to law because people see law as works only. Well, obviously the law emphasized the works. But then there's the motive of why you do the works. See, that's what made the law ineffective, was the flesh didn't want to, or wrong motives, or whatever. And so Israel was to live by faith, even under the law.
Right.
Believing God's word, this is what God said, this is God's law, this is God's constitution for our nation. We are to be different than any other nation, so we have to believe that. In other words, it's a faith act. Well, it's the same way with the believer in salvation. It's a faith act, isn't it? And so it's a fact of what's the protocol? Believe.
Right.
So if God says, do this, A, B, C, D, E. You don't skip any other steps. You do it exactly the way God said. When God says, believe in your heart, and then acknowledge what you believe in your heart with your mouth, then that's what you have to do. It's not a fact of mental ascension. There's something active on the inside of you. Okay? And so these are things you need to glean out of this. God has always wanted faith.
That's good.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Was Moses a man of faith? It was by faith he went into Egypt even to deliver them out.
Right.
You understand? And so all these years, he's actually living by faith, and he is called the lawgiver. It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have faith in doing these works of the law is what's going to please God in that particular area, in era. Today, we're not under the law because Jesus has fulfilled the law. And so our belief is in the one who fulfilled it. And by our believing in the one who fulfilled it, the law is fulfilled in us. Our commands to love. Love God, love your fellow man. And if you do those two things, then all the law is fulfilled according to the scriptures.
You think about these lepers, the word of God came through the priest to the leper at the time. This is what determines whether or not you're clean or unclean. You know, the leper couldn't say, come up to the priest and say, well, I feel like I'm clean. Or you just pronounced me clean and I don't feel clean. You know, do you see what I'm saying with that? It wasn't based on feeling. Just like our walk with the Lord today, it's not based on what we feel. It's just based on what he says.
No man can tell you you're clean. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And when you're clean, you'll know it in your heart. You don't need anybody to tell you. I don't need anybody to tell me that I'm born again. I have the witness on the inside of me. You see? Why? Because I know that the Spirit in me is calling God Father. It's the Spirit in me that's calling God Father. It's not something fabricated. It's the witness that's on the inside of you. So man can't make you clean. Man can't pronounce you clean. But Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. That's the beauty of this thing. And then you can be like Paul. I don't care. All of us, as Heather was mentioning earlier, all of us, if you want to compare sin to leprosy, were lepers before we were born again. And so when we're born again and receive Jesus Christ, we be delivered from the leprosy. We were healed. We were cleansed from all unrighteousness, and now we're in right standing with God. And so when the priest pronounced the leper clean, he's now in right standing to go back in among the people, the camp. Okay? Now he can associate with God's people because he's clean. Well, so can we through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. There's a lot to that, and I think about what Pete just mentioned about how man can't pronounce you clean. Man does not pronounce you saved or unsaved. But there are people today, you think about, that will repeat a prayer and they'll say, well, this many people got saved.
Repeat after me. Well, that's just a parrot. A parrot will repeat after you. You follow me? There's more to it than people talk about the confession. It's not the confession.
The heart.
It's the belief.
Yeah.
You can confess anything. You understand? It's not what your mouth's saying. It's what your heart is believing. And you have to get your heart believing before your mouth is confessing. Otherwise, you're just talking. It's not doing anything. Actually, it's a self-deception. And so many ministers have deceived people into saying, if you repeat after me, then this happens, you're saved. But if you don't believe in your heart, then it didn't happen. You understand? Now, no man can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. There has to be a conviction on the inside of the heart. I sat under many messages in church, and I said a lot of things. You know, I mean, I tell you I was saved. From what? I was still doing the same dumb, wicked stuff. I wasn't saved from anything. I just said what the church said. But I can tell you this, when the reality set in and the conviction on the inside hit my heart and drew me to Jesus, now it's a whole different ballgame. It's not something religion teaches. It's not something that the tradition of the church teaches. It's now a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't need anybody telling me I'm saved. I don't need to sign a card. I don't need all that kind of stuff that people try to get you to do. Is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior? And are you so convinced of that you would die before you deny it? That's the key. Then you can confess. Now you're just acknowledging what you believe. And that's what salvation is all about. You're acknowledging what you believe in your heart.
You see the difference there instead of trying to believe what you acknowledge? Do you see what I mean? A lot of times...
Let me put it like this way. And I've dealt with people a lot. And I've asked this question a lot when people are... or not sure. I'll ask him, well, are you saved? Have you been saved? Well, I think I have. I said, that's the wrong answer. If you were to drop dead right now, do you have the assurance that you'll be in the presence of the Lord? If you don't, then you have a heart issue. And you need to get that thing right with God to where there is no condemnation in you, to where you absolutely know that you'll be in the presence of the Lord, and then that takes the fear out of death. You just got promoted.
Yeah.
And that's how you look at it. You with me? But it's amazing to me how many Christians are professing Christians are not certain of salvation. Listen, when that priest pronounced that leper clean, he went back into the camp. I'm clean. When the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses you from your sin, you're clean. You should be confident of that. Not going in back into the camp and, you know, hiding yourself and all this type stuff. We should be bold in the Lord. I'm not talking about obnoxious. I'm talking about confident in what you believe. Okay?
Yeah. That faith brings about such an assurance, doesn't it? So good.
Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I know. And I am persuaded that he'll keep that which I've committed to him till that day. You have to get to that point. If you haven't got to that point, then you need to get before the Lord to where you get that assurance. Then, you're not saying unclean. He's saying unclean. Paul said, I've wronged no man. I have a conscience void of offense before God and man. Now, it wasn't because he hadn't done some wrong stuff. It was because he had been forgiven and cleansed from the wrong stuff. Okay? So he's pronounced clean.
Very good. Verse 23. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord.
Here again, I'm not a person that... dwells on colors and numbers and stuff like that. If that's something God's revealed to you, then that's fine. But what I do see is somewhat of a pattern with the seven. It's like a completion. Okay? And so there's 7 days here, and you've seen this often through Leviticus. It's 7 days of separation, 7 days of cleansing or whatever. Then the 8th day, the offering was brought. Well, if you brought the offering the 7th day, it's not going to do any good. You have to follow God's protocol. And that's you'll hear me say that often when we go through this Levitical law. It's not about learning how to do this and how to do that, what animal here and what animal there. That's not the principle that God's wanting us to glean out of this. He's wanting us to understand that there are no shortcuts to the protocol of God. What God says is what God means. And if he says 8th day, he means the 8th day, not the 9th day, not the 7th day. He means exactly what he says. And that's what he's wanting us to understand. That we're to do it God's way. Not man's way, not religion's way, but God's way. I'm going to tell you, for years I was deceived. I mean, I grew up in church from the time I was born. But till I had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and really a transformation of a heart, I was deceived. And once that happened and God started revealing things to me, I thought, is everything the church taught me wrong? Because it's the same Bible. And now I'm reading things in the Bible that's not agreeing with what the church is teaching. And yet it's there all along. I'm not using a different Bible than them. It's right there in black and white. But it's amazing how many things are of a private interpretation, or how many people mishandle the Word of God by taking a truth and building a doctrine around that truth and taking things to an extreme, which makes it an error. If you take a truth to an extreme, you're going to make an error out of it. And that's what people do. Truth and absolute truth. But there's more than one truth. This Bible is full of truths.
Yeah.
And we need to put all these truths together in order to get the full picture. Every denomination has a truth. But understand this. Truth is not to divide you. It should unite you. And if you just look at the etymology of denomination, it's talking about division. So it's not ordained of God. What's ordained of God is one body, the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? The church, which is the body of Christ, not divided, but united. Paul had to deal with this with the Corinthians. Read the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. We've got to get united in truth. Learn truth. Stay with truth. And the Word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through your Word. Your Word is truth. In John 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth. So there's only two sources for truth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit and the Word never contradict. They always agree. And so if we're seeing contradiction, then we're misunderstanding. And we need to get in and find the absolute truth. What did that have to do with leprosy?
Not sure. No. No, we were talking about following God's protocol. God's results, His results, we have to follow His protocol. So what's our protocol today? To follow the Spirit of God? Yeah. Word of God and the Spirit. Very good. Okay, verse 24. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Not only did the person that was afflicted have to follow protocol, but the priest had to follow the protocol. You understand that Jesus had to do everything God's way. He never acted independently of his Father. He had to do everything according to the protocol that said all the prophecies throughout the Old Testament had to be fulfilled by him. You understand? He couldn't deviate from the pattern that God had set. Now, I believe there's a significance to putting the blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe, great toe of the right foot. And to me, it's dealing with your hearing, your doing, and your walk, your ways, okay? And so there's a cleansing in all this. We need our hearing cleaned. We need to be hearing correctly. We need our doing to be in agreement with God, not just doing to do. And religion will wear you out doing to do. They'll work you silly. And then it becomes a works-oriented, I don't want to say salvation because it's not going to save you, but it's a works-oriented method to make you think that that's how God approves of you. The more I do for the Lord, the more the Lord approves for me. Well, that's not true. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. So it doesn't matter how many works I do, it's not going to please God. My faith is what's going to please God. Now, because my faith is in God, it will stimulate a corresponding action. And so the works will be works produced as a result of my faith, not trying to get or think I'm going to get God's approval. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 26, and the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle some with his right finger, some of the oil that is in his left hand, seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord.
So here again, the priest has his instructions. He has to do things a certain way. Now, one of the things that really got my attention was how he put the blood on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb, the great toe. Then one of the things the priest was to do in this purification process, ceremonial cleansing, and note it's a ceremonial cleansing, mm-hmm. is he put the oil on the blood mm-hmm. where he had put the blood, okay, on the ear, the thumb, and the great toe. And basically what you're saying, and you may have alluded to this earlier, is the oil in the Old Testament was something that set you apart. You poured oil on, you anointed to set apart. And it set apart what's cleansed. What's cleansed is set apart. That's how I see it. Now, you may have other things, and that's fine and well, but to me there's a significance in all that.
That's okay. That's very good. Verse 30. And he shall offer the one, he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, with the meal offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing.
You getting the picture?
Yeah.
Do it God's way. If someone comes to you, make sure the counsel you give them is the counsel of God. You do it God's way. Don't offer them a false hope. Yeah, but I might make them mad. Listen. I'd rather for you to be upset with me than God. I want to do it God's way. And so if you can't handle that, then obviously you have a heart problem that needs to be corrected. And you're going to have to get before the Lord to correct that. We have to learn to do things God's way. Whether we're the person that's looking for the cleansing or whether we're the person that pronounces the cleansing, you understand? It would be by the word of God. This is what God says. That's why we put so much emphasis on knowing the word of God. And when I say knowing the word of God, I'm not talking about quoting the word of God. I'm talking about practically knowing the word of God. You know it by experience. It's not that you can quote verbatim the scripture. You just know the truth of that. You know the concept of that principle. You follow me? Mm-hmm. Then in reality, you do know the word of God to the point that you can convey that in an understandable way to someone else without giving them church jargon and all this religious talk. You follow me?
Verse 33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When you become into the land of Canaan, or when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house.
Now, here you learn that leprosy is more than a skin disease.
Mm-hmm.
We've already learned you could have leprosy in your flesh, or you could have leprosy in a garment,
mm-hmm.
or you can have leprosy in your house. So it's more than a skin disease. It's an undesirable disease, affliction, whatever that may be, okay? Now, there's some interesting things here. Number one, he says, when you go into the land which God's given them, right? This is before they inherit the land. God has given it to them, but they have to possess it. I should say possess the land. It's before they possess the land. And so Moses is laying out God's protocol for all this. Now, it says that if you go into that land and the Lord puts leprosy in the house. Well, why in the world would the Lord put leprosy in the house? I mean, he said, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build.
Mm-hmm.
Vineyards you didn't plant. So he's going to give me a house with leprosy? Now, this is where you have to keep the scriptures together. We were talking about this earlier today. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, there was a blessing, there was a curse. One of the curses had to do with this, what the King James Version calls mildew, in that particular setting in Deuteronomy 28, okay? And so why would that be in there? Because the curse is pronounced over the land. You know, when the nation of Israel went into the promised land, God had given this mandate to Moses, even though he didn't take them in. He did convey the message, and Joshua carried this thing out. Six tribes. Six pronouncing the blessing, Gerizim and Ebal. Remember those two mounts? Six of them here pronouncing blessing, six of them here pronouncing the curse. Now the words are released over the land. You do this, you walk in the blessing. Deuteronomy 28. It's all about, the first 14 verses are all about putting God as a priority. If you will hearken diligently to the Lord, you keep all His commandments, all His statutes, then He said, I'll bless you. You'll be blessed going in, you'll be blessed coming out. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be the above, not the beneath. But when you get to verse 15, He says, if you don't, then He lists the curses through the rest of that chapter, and there's like a 68 verses in that chapter, so you can check me out on that, of curses. And one of them is this very thing. Either you'll build houses and not dwell on them. Well, you'll find as we go along, if that leprosy was in the house and you went through the cleansing processes and it didn't respond, you had to tear the house down.
Mm-hmm.
Totally destroy it. You follow me? So it's not that God is doing something just because He wants to be malicious or vindictive. It's because He's already spoken what's going to happen. And so if they're not fully following the Lord of God, then they're susceptible to the curse, right? Psalm 91.
Right.
No plague will come nigh your dwelling. If you set your love on the Lord, you with me? Well, what if you don't? Then you're vulnerable. You follow all this? Okay. It's not that God says, well, I'll just, think I'll fix your house just because I'm God and I want to. And so a lot of people have that attitude about God. Well, God's sovereign, He can do anything you want to. Well, you have to understand that sovereignty has set out the rules. And so if sovereignty says, all right, I'm giving you dominion, then He is not going to override your dominion. Did He override Adam's dominion when he fell? No, that's why man still has dominion today. That's why man needed to be redeemed. But understand this, that what God redeemed was not the flesh. That's what messed up. What God redeemed was the spirit man, the inward man. And so our redemption is through the inward man, and the inward man is the occupant of the house, so the occupant of the house can take control over the outward man. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And bring the outward man into submission to the Word of God. And my mm-hmm. time's up, so I'm going to have to stop here. They said wrap it up.
Wow.
Okay.
That was quick.
I was about to get on the road.